You're listening to Establish the Truth, a podcast aimed at being biblically sound, practical, and transforming. Let's dive into our first episode in this series, Trekking God's 14er. That's right. Welcome. My name is Jake, and I'm your host here on Established in the Truth. Thank you so much for listening, whether you are a returning listener or a first-time listener. This is the first episode in our newest series called Trekking God's 14er. And really what we're going to try to do is unpack what a high view of God and His Word is and how that empowers us as believers, specifically to love and revere God for who He is by firmly trusting in His Word. Now, in this first episode, we're specifically going to be tackling what a high view of God and His Word is and why that's important, while the second episode will more specifically get into specific aspects of how this high view actually empowers and equips us spiritually. So a quick story here. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was a part of a men's group at a local church. It wasn't my home church necessarily, but it was a men's group that I was part of at this church. And we had the real blessing after this year long of, you know, growing in life together, studying the Word, praying together, of having a sort of graduation hike. And so towards the end of the summer, when it was almost time for this graduation hike, you know, yeah, we had to train up and get ready to hike a 14er. And if you don't know what a 14er is a mountain that is at least 14,000 feet high. Now, why in the world would anybody want to hike a 14er? Well, it's a challenge. It really is a challenge, and it's a rewarding challenge. And so that was one of the reasons why we did this. And it's also a team building thing as well. So not going to get into all that right now. But the point is we got to hike up this 14er. And so you train up. And then you wake up really early in the morning, you grab your gear, and you meet the guys at your meetup spot, and then you, you know, pile into the car and head up to the mountains. And, you know, when you get there, it's a little intimidating. Sometimes you can see the peak, sometimes you can't. But nonetheless, you're with your group of men who love the Lord and want to hike up this mountain. And so you begin your hike, and really it's already beautiful because you're in the mountains. But as you progress in the hike, the view is even more beautiful. And the hike gets really exhausting, and you get lightheaded, and it's hard. But at the same time, you just keep going. And finally, at the summit, if you make it there, some people don't, but if you make it there, it's just simply incredible. It's a breathtaking view from the top. And you see, just as hiking a 14er grants incredible views, so also we as believers in Jesus Christ, we need a high view of God and His Word to grow spiritually. But instead of getting physically exhausted at the top, we're invigorated spiritually on God's 14er, and that's truly because of who He is. You see, right now in this world, and this hasn't been any really different since the fall, and we're going to get to that, but the reality is that this world does not have a high view of God or of His Word. You really don't have to look far to see that. Their view of His Word is like actually walking through a desert. I mean, have you ever been to like a deserty place? You know, there's usually nothing but sand and maybe a lot of wind, maybe a few shrubs. Make that also flat or even like a declining hill that leads to a cliff. And really, that's where that view is headed. And we're going to uncover that in just a few minutes, why that is. But the point is that whether it's the media, the news, maybe you're on social media, even sometimes in our conversations with people, we can see people don't see God or His Word the way in which they should be viewed. And so let's unpack that just a little bit biblically. I mean, this is established in the truth, right? So we want to understand what God's word says about this first and foremost. And so Ephesians 2 actually unpacks this. It says that actually all of us once followed the evil one. That's right. If you maybe don't know that before, or didn't know that before, or this is news to you, check out Ephesians 2 today. It explains that we actually used to follow the evil one before we knew Christ. And so because Satan is in this sense ruling the world, it makes sense that the world would follow his ways. Now, in this episode, we're Lord willing going to tackle what a high and a low view of God are and what the results are and the real impact they have on the world. But we have to understand that the reason why the world doesn't have a high view is because of the evil one. So now we're not going to be able to get into every single aspect of having a high view of God and his word in this episode. That's just way too big of a topic. And I guess you could call this a 10,000 foot over this 14er, where we're going to fly over these truths. No, we're not going to go higher than God. That's not the point. Anyways, I encourage you to look into this topic for yourself if you'd like more depth. So the question is, what is a high view of God and his word? Well, simply put, a high view of God understands and submits willingly to God's lordship. Let me say that again, lordship over all he has made. A high view of his word believes that he has personally revealed himself through scripture. That's incredible. He's done so also infallibly, meaning that his scripture is our absolute standard for truth, for all things in faith and in practice. You see, God's almighty. He's the God of the universe, eternally existent as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, this is in contrast with perhaps maybe a wrong high view, which would consider God as some sort of man upstairs like Zeus or, you know, what other god you want to think about, like Roman or Greek mythology or anything like that. Maybe Norse mythology. What, you know, I don't know what, you know, what culture you find yourself in. That's not the kind of high view we're talking about here. The true high view sees God as he truly is. Now, if any of you have watched the Disney movie Hercules, that is what that would look like, the wrong view of a high view. So obviously from history, we know that cultures have already adopted this and even devoted themselves to this view. The beauty, though, of a high view of God and his word, and if you have a Bible with you or you're on your phone or online or whatever, as long as you're not at work, I mean, you can do this if you're at work, if, you know, your employer would let you or whatever. You know, established in the truth, we go straight to the word. So let's get into this. So it's Psalm 1. And Psalm 1, the first word in that passage is blessed. So do you want to be blessed? Then have a high view of God from his word. Now, I could camp on this passage all day, and indeed, we're going to talk about it a little bit. I love it. It gets to the heart of God's intention and design for his word and the life of the believer. It really does. It, you know, it says delight in God's word, meditating on it, right? That word law means basically God's instruction is another translation of that, meaning his word. And that doing so, delighting in God's word, you know, meditating on it day and night, makes the believer like a tree planted by water and yielding fruit in its season. Amen to that. That is good news. So where does a high view of God come from? Well, we just read it. A high view of God is first and foremost from scripture. That's where we get it. We see actually in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, maybe you're familiar with this passage. It's when Gabriel is talking to Mary that basically he's saying, hey, well, I guess it's not he. Angels don't have gender necessarily. Okay, that's besides the point. So that angel, the angel Gabriel says, Mary, you're going to have a son. And his name's going to be Jesus. But specifically, he says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. But a heart-level high view of God, that's you know, understanding, okay, this is what Scripture says, but a heart-level high view of God comes by hearing and responding in faith to God's word. In fact, I mean, that's what Mary ended up doing. She understood who was talking to her and the one who sent the message. You see, they're intimately connected. You can't have a high view of God and a low view of his word. I mean, look at the Pharisees. They thought that they had a high view of God and his word, but if they actually did, they would have believed that Jesus was God's revelation. You know, he said, I and the Father are one. They were serving a God made in their own image. Well, you also can't have a high view of the word and a low view of God. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more later. So the beautiful picture of understanding a high view of God's word, okay, and then this is important here, regarding how we can kind of see this from its inception, all right, and not the movie. I'm not talking about the movie here. The inception of where we first see as humans God as a beautiful picture, having this communicated high view of his word. Genesis 1:3 says, and God said, let there be light. The very first thing we have in scripture of God saying something, besides verses 1 and 2, I get it because that's still his word. It's something created out of his very word. Like, that's unimaginably marvelous. So even from the get-go of scripture, we see that the focus is on God and his word, right? So this high view. You know, I can't even tell my lights in my room to turn on. Well, okay, hold on. Google and Alexa don't count. I don't, you know, if you have smart lights or whatever you call them, that's not what we're getting at here. Man-made, you know, that's technology. And of course, you know, I'm going to get on a tangent here. Goodness. The technology is not evil. Okay. It's, you know, the pride of man because of technology in a sense has been heartbreaking, but it's a tool. Okay. Not an end. Okay. Still listening. Good commercial break. Let's keep going. I promise I'm on track here. What is a low view of God? All right, let's talk about this. A low view of God considers God less than he actually is. That's in power, in existence, in his love. It basically just neglects what scripture says about him. I mean, again, those are intimately connected, right? We talked about that. These views, though, they don't have to necessarily be militant atheist views, which we're going to unpack militant atheists if you've never heard that term before. But those, they would be considered low views of God. But the point is this idea that scripture is errant, not necessary, and maybe at best good stories and good morals to follow, but not written by God. It was more written by man, right? That's a low view. That's a low view of scripture, ultimately denying inspiration. But again, it doesn't always take the form of somebody, you know, ripping to shreds a street preacher, evangelist who's standing on God's word. It could actually come in form of someone who just doesn't really care about the Bible and is maybe more apathetic about it. So it can come from, you know, it can appear in different ways. But the point, the kind of the crux, the pinnacle of this low view of scripture, I should probably say the depths of a low view of scripture, is from Genesis chapter 2. This is where this low view came from. It's where it all started. The serpent in the Garden of Eden. It asked Eve, did God actually say? And here we are today. Because of one question, one doubt, one temptation, a low view of God has entered in, cue death, and we have our current state before, of course, you know, Christ's return. You know, the fall didn't, the effects of the fall didn't stop when Jesus came and when he rose. That's important because the work isn't done yet for him to return, right? The work's done on the cross, but he hasn't returned yet. So we're not at this totally redeemed state. So now you see that why a low view here is walking down a hill towards a cliff, because the fall makes us look at God as this low being in his revelation, as this just a book. You know, that's what a person with a very low view of scripture is going to say. It's just a book. May not even be accurate. Now, not surprisingly, this is also the opposite of the delight we were talking about earlier, isn't it? The person who does not delight in the word is, according to someone, and this is hard here, okay? If you're a new believer, hear this, you know, and consider this, you know, weighty. If you're maybe, you know, a little bit more learned, 10 years, 15, 20 years into your faith, this is a wake-up call as saying, hey, this is where the world is. Boom. This is where the need is, right? Psalm 1, wicked, okay? Like chaff that the wind drives away, okay? By the way, chaff are husks of grains or grasses from sifted grain, and specifically husks that are winnowed, okay? That means removed using air. I can't give you a visual right now, okay? But the point is that scripture uses this winnowing of chaff, go Google it if you want, as an image for separating good from evil. And here Psalm 1 says that's what the wicked are like who don't delight in the word and aren't blessed by it. So even here that we see that the blessing is the fruit of delighting in God's word, and actually judgment is the product of rejecting it. Now, let's make a really important distinction here, all right? Now, there is, doubt, which is, you know, it's the sin behind why we wouldn't believe God's word. You know, you go to the gospel where Jesus is questioning, you know, why, Thomas, do you have to see me in order to believe, right? That kind of doubt that is in his heart. But there's also a wrestling that we can have with scripture, which is actually a healthy thing. And that's an important distinction. Reading a passage and really wrestling with, okay, what does this mean? Is this true? All that. Faithful Christian theologians do this. They wrestle with scripture all the time. And it's important to wrestle with those, but that doesn't indicate that you're not saved or anything. In fact, it's actually probably meaning that God's surfacing an area of your heart that he wants to work in and wants to further help you to surrender that. I share this because part of the reason it is important to have a high view of God's word is because we need to be discerning, okay, discernment of how others view God and his word and if it's accurate to who he is and what he has revealed. And you know, I am really concerned about people being led astray. Absolutely. I mean, we're sheep, right? We follow people way too easily. But really, I can't just continue to fret about that. Of course, that should lead me to prayer and everything, but when I'm at church or I'm in a different conversation, honestly, my concern should be, okay, is what I'm hearing accurate? Is this person understanding? Am I understanding God for who he is? You know, maybe you have friends who could care less about God's word. Maybe you know others who maybe even deny the Bible. Maybe others are just carefree. But the point is to understand that God's desire for them and for us is to know him. And that starts with faith. So, I mean, pray for them. You know, pray for yourself. Pray for others around you to know God truly and understand him and trust in his word. So we've just tackled the high and lows of high and low views of scripture and what they result in. We know a high view of God in his word. We also know what a low view of God and his word is. And just like starting at 14er, this is just the start. The reality is, because of who God is and what he has revealed, his mountain will always get more amazing and will never end. Thankfully, with all the blessing and none of the exhaustion. Oh, believe me. Now, I'm not like this fit person who can climb like tall mountains. All right. I was told to drink tons of water before I went up. All right. It was not easy. Plus, the encouragement of brothers was really a blessing. So So I got to ask you, and I'm going to ask myself too, are we ready to go up? Am I ready to go up? Are you ready to go up? Well, if you have received Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you are well on your way. Okay? This isn't works-based righteousness, y'all. Just making sure we know that. It's faith. Okay? And God will be faithful to do a good work in you as you trek with him on his trail for your life. See what I did there? The only way to go is up, to enjoy and savor God in Christ. And that's with others, and that's his will and his glory in our lives, to enjoy and savor him as that high view of scripture, that high view of him, especially in context of your local church. So I love diving into God's word with you all and seeing its golden nuggets. That actually makes me a bit hungry, really. Which actually leads me to introduce our next episode in this series, all right? We just talked about this high view of God and his word, but this next episode isn't going to cover the what and the why that we just did. It's actually looking into covering who God is as the Most High and the response that empowers for us. And yes, it does have to do with gold, but just not, you know, golden chicken nuggets. All right, that was a dad joke. Okay, moving on from that. Of course, God's word is so much better than a chicken nugget. I hope that doesn't sound too irreverent for you. Was not trying to be irreverent there, promise. In any case, that wraps it up for this episode. I hope and pray that this episode blesses you richly and encourages you in your walk with the Lord. And next episode, we're going to go ahead and dive into the hows or the specific aspects of how a high view of God and his word truly empowers and equips us spiritually. We'll see you next time. Have comments or questions? Go ahead and reach out to us at establishedinthetruth@gmail.com. You can also reach us at establishedinthetruthpodcast.wordpress.com. If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe on your favorite streaming platform. We'll see you next time on Established in the Truth.